Welcome to the podcast for St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center. That's in Random Lake, Wisconsin, north of Milwaukee and south of Sheboygan. We're pleased to share with you recent sermons and Bible classes from our congregation. We welcome you to join us for Divine Service Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We have Bible classes currently offered at 8:15 a.m. on Sunday. Join us to receive the Lord's Word and His gifts. Hello, I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center. That's in Random Lake, Wisconsin. Glad to have you with us here today for our congregation and prayer. This is our daily prayer that was distributed on Sundays when we were regularly gathering as a congregation, but now we've been doing it online as a video series, adapt and adjust based off of context, right? And so here it is, and hopefully it's been a blessing to you. I'm going on over 2 months of praying each day with you. Let's begin then. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our psalm for this week is Psalm 81. Oh, you know what? We haven't sang the psalm in a long time. Why don't we do that today? You can sing along with me if you like. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song, sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel, a just decree of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree in Joseph, when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a language I had not known. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me, there shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts, to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
It's one of those times where I do kind of wish we had an organist to accompany us, because he could change
psalm tone slightly there, where it gets a little bit more less optimistic in the middle. All right. Let's continue with the memory verse for today. Say it with me. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. Say it again. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. Now our catechism. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now to widows. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God, and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. 1 Timothy 5, 5-6. Now to everyone. The commandments are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13, verse 9. I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Our first reading today is actually the Old Testament reading for this coming Sunday, Pentecost, from Genesis 11. We'll do some catechesis on this on Saturday, but we'll hear it today so we get it in context with our narrative reading from Pentecost. Genesis 11. Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. There ends the reading. And our narrative reading, and the text for our catechesis today, is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. There ends the reading. All right, now for some catechesis. What is the feast day that they are gathered together for? That's right, Pentecost. I would ask you what you know about the origin of this feast, but you can't really answer across. So how about I tell you? This is also called the Feast of Weeks, all right? And it was instituted for us in Leviticus 23. All right, so I'm going to go there, Leviticus 23, and I think roughly verse 15. There we are. Yeah. It's also called the Feast of Weeks, as I said. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. This is, of course, from the Passover, right? 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. How many Sundays are there in Easter? That's right, 7. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. Oh, notice the bread is leavened bread now. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year, without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire, for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall then wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord, with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever into all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather from any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. All right. And then there's some actually... another account of this feast, just a couple chapters later, some more details, Leviticus 25, verse 8 and following. Oh my, it's quite a bit. Well, I'll just start reading it. We'll see how far we get. All right. So here again, you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself. Ooh. So 7 Sabbaths of years. So there's a Pentecost every, 50 years. 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of the year shall be to you 49 years. Got it? Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year. All right, so again, the number 50 here, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land, to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. So this is the year of jubilee, as we call it. And each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. Big family reunion, I guess. And in it, you shall neither sow nor reap what grows on its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it shall be a jubilee, it shall be holy to you, and you shall eat its produce from the field. So you just allow the fields to just produce what they produce, and just receive no work for that whole year. Yeah. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor. And according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price, and according to the fewer number of years, you shall diminish its price. For he sells to you according to the number of the years of the crops. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. And there's all sorts of other provisions about redemption of property, and other kinds of provisions, and giving to the poor, and releasing those who are in slavery. A beautiful time, right? Freedom is the emphasis of the liberty and freedom of the slavery and those who are in debts on that 50th year. It's kind of a big reset button for the people of Israel. And of course, thinking of this coming Sunday for us and returning to corporate worship, not only a feast of 50 days from our Lord's resurrection, but also, it has that Jubilee element too. All right, and this is all to celebrate the marking of the freedom of the children of Israel. They received their exodus, in their exodus from Egypt, right? So they celebrate this, as a harvest festival, but also as freedom from slavery in Egypt, to recognize the Lord's deliverance through the exodus. All right. Oh, by the way, Pentecost is just a English transliteration of the Greek name for the day, which just means 50. Right? It's just 50. Who is the they in verse 1? They were all with one accord in one place. That's the apostles. That's right. And I imagine it might have been more than just the 12 now with Matthias, but also, you know, that roughly 120 number that we have studied the last couple days ago. All right. Was there an actual wind? Well, you notice in verse 2, it says, as of a rushing mighty wind. All right, no wind, but it was as if, sounded as if a wind. Why was it a sound? All right, there's the emphasis here. What is the sound? We know this to be the Holy Spirit. All right, it's the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is the great wind that cannot be seen, but is heard, right? Think about, remember this, the Acts is written by Luke. Think about Luke chapter 4. After Jesus had cast out the demon, they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him, that is, the preaching of the gospel, went out into every place in the surrounding region, like a mighty rushing wind. Huh? Heard but not seen. Of course, what is the wind like if we think Old Testament, Genesis chapter 2? Or what does it remind us of? That's right, the breath of God that was breathed upon Adam. I think, or maybe the breath that was breathed upon the slain in Ezekiel. Or later in Acts, let's say Acts 17, I think. Yeah, I think that's right. We'll go back to, yeah, there we are. This is St. Paul at the Areopagus, and he says, "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life." Here it is, breath and all things. All right, so he gives to all life, breath, and all things. All right, so the breathing of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, is also the breath of life that breathed life upon us at creation and in, of course, saving us. Why do you think that the wind would be described here by St. Luke as mighty? Or you could actually translate that as violent, a rushing, violent wind. Well, the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation, as you know from St. Paul, right? And it's powerful, violent even. Think about Moses in the Exodus, right? Stretching out his hand over the sea. This is Exodus 14. "And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into a dry land, and the waters were divided." So the breath of God there separating the waters to deliver his people. You know? And of course, that same breath would then blow and return the waters to destroy sin and death, epitomized thereby Pharaoh and his host. All right. So the Spirit always brings life to those who believe his words, but death to those who do not believe. Why did the sound fill the house? There's all sorts of notes here from St. Luke that are really wonderful. Why did it fill the whole house? What do you think he's pointing forward to? I think you're right. It's the gathering of God's people in the church, which is called the house of God. In that house, God's people, collectively, the body of Christ is filled with the Spirit of the Father, right? Spirit, Father, Son, and Spirit together. Okay, now what appeared over their heads, and actually we might talk about this another time, but I like some of the Reformation art, actually, who said, maybe not so much on their heads, but out of their mouth, the tongues of fire, because it is a tongue after all, right? Yeah, tongues of fire. Why is it a tongue of fire, even if it's on their head? Yeah, it goes along with the wind of God, which is the proclamation of the gospel, right? It takes a tongue to proclaim God's word, right? Without your tongue, you can't actually talk. So tongues are essential for the proclamation of the gospel. Why did the fire not burn? All right, tongues of fire, but it didn't destroy them. Fire can destroy, but fire can also do what? That's right, it can purify. Fire purifies. Think about Exodus 3. There's all sorts of references to the Old Testament in this text. It's really beautiful. Exodus 3, that's the burning bush, right, with Moses. And how did Moses record this? And Moses said, verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame. That's Jesus, by the way. Angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Right? So it comes to bring life, not destroy, in this case. Although, of course, fire rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, for example, to destroy them, and will on the last day destroy the earth by fire as well. So much like we talked about with the mighty or violent wind that can bring life or bring death. What's the other symbolic connections appropriate to fire? We talked about it purifying. What else can fire do? Talk about this with children, or usually in our catechesis, right? That fire can, let's see what you think. Well, here's an endurance one. This is from Numbers 31. Eleazar the priest said to the men of war who had gone out to battle, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Quote, only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through fire. And it shall be clean. It shall be purified with the water of purification. But if all that cannot endure fire, you shall put through water. And you shall wash your clothes. Okay? So there's a purifying fire. What else can fire do? I wish I could hear you say it. Well, think about how Jesus led his people through the wilderness, right? We have the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire at by night to give them light so that they could go by day and by night, right? So when the Lord led them, they could travel both by day or night. Imagine traveling at night. In the wilderness was beneficial, you know, cooler, you know, easier to travel. And so you would need that light to guide your way. What else does fire do? I'm just using scripture citations here to help you. All right. Then it shall be, this is Isaiah 44, it shall be for a man to burn, for he will take some of it and warm himself. There you go. Yes, he kindles it and bakes bread. Oh, you can use it to cook. So to warm and to cook. Indeed, he makes a god and worships it. Oop, that's not so good. He makes a carved image and falls down to it. He burns half of it in the fire. With this half, he eats meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. He even warms himself and says, I am warm. I've seen the fire. Yeah. So not exactly the most text we want to commend you to, but obviously the point is the same, that it warms you and warms and can be used to cook too. To bake or to roast. By the way, I've got my little side note here. Got my thermometer, my probe here telling me that's my smoker. It's currently resting at 219 degrees. I'm roasting some meat as the Lord would have me do. Enjoy the fruits of his creation. All right. On whom did the fire rest? He actually says it explicitly here, right? On each one of them? No, it's not explicit still. It's on the apostles. All right. Now, who filled the apostles? We've already referred to this, but you can see it in verse 4. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it then mean when it says that they speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance? This is, you know, just basic literacy 101 here, being able to read the Bible. Just understand the text. Just keep reading, and St. Luke tells you exactly what it means. Unfortunately, there are those who call themselves Pentecostal, who say that this means some kind of fancy spirit language. How long until the meat is done? It's going to be about probably another 12 hours, you know, low and slow, 220 degrees, 210, somewhere in there. All right. We have to be patient, and it will be rewarded. So they spoke in other tongues, which just really, literally just means, as he says here, that they spoke in the languages of those gathered, right? Other actual languages. Who are these devout men, these God-fearers, in verse 5? these are Gentiles that had converted to Judaism. All right, that's why they're from all over the place. They're not from Israel. And what did the crowd hear? They could have been Jews that were scattered abroad as well. They call that the diaspora. What did the crowd hear? They all heard what? The same sound, right? They heard the sound and then they of the gospel, right? Because they say the wonderful works of God. There you see it in verse 11, right? So they heard the disciples speaking in the various languages of the crowd. Of course, now we heard this already, but what Old Testament story about this that's the opposite of the speaking in tongues? That's what we saw with Babel, right? With Genesis 11. Yeah, right. As here is the sin of man, which God then separates the nations and confused their languages at Babel because they proposed to live apart from God and to do whatever they saw fit in their own eyes rather than to listen to him, right? And so now the Christian Pentecost here is the gathering of all nations and all peoples with one common language. That doesn't mean the language of the church, Latin, although that wouldn't be such a bad thing if we all spoke Latin. We'd understand one another. But we're talking about the language of the gospel, of forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ, right? Which can easily be translated, from the Greek and the Hebrew into whatever native tongue, right? To speak in their own languages. What's the important question, though, that is proposed by the people gathered there in verse 12? What's the important question? Yeah, you see it there. Whatever could this mean? It's like Luther's question, was ist das, right? What is this? What is this peculiar, bizarre, odd preaching about? All right. So it's enough to hear the wonderful works of God. No, one must also be taught or preached to say, here's what this means. This is literally, this is what it is for you. What accusation then did some of them make to the disciples? They are full of new wine. Now, Peter's going to mock that tomorrow, tomorrow's reading in a way. But actually, it's kind of profound. Because you think about it, they're preaching the gospel, the forgiveness of sins by grace alone and not by works. It's unlike anything else that they've ever heard. And of course, we think of the prophecies. I'm thinking of Isaiah and speaking about, you know, well-aged wine and food rich in bones rich with marrow, right? I'm talking about a feast, and the gospel itself is a feast to us, a feast of wonderful food, and that the church then is the land that flows with milk and honey, right? You think about all that. Feasting and food language that are part of not only the picture of heaven, but our life together in Christ in the church. So are they full of new wine? Well, in one sense they are, but Peter will say, we're not drunk as you suppose we are. All right. A little meditation on this. God appointed this festival from the beginning to indicate the greatest liberty that comes when the Spirit of God works faith in Christ. There was a sound of a great wind because the Spirit blows around the world in the preaching of the Word. This sound fills Christ's church on earth and fills Christ's church on earth with the news of the perfect liberty that is yours in the forgiveness of sins. This Word of God is the fire that purifies us and destroys the old Adam. Through this fire, the Spirit brings light to our sin-darkened world. This is not a gospel of babbled confusion, but a gospel that speaks clearly in the intelligible languages of the peoples of this world. There were no interpreters of tongues, for the disciples were speaking in the intelligible languages of all those who gathered. All this is to declare to the nations of the earth the wonderful works of God for us in Christ. Indeed, these works of Christ are the new wine that brings joy to hearts burdened under the yoke of sin's slavery. Lovely. All right, we'll continue. Tomorrow we'll start to hear Peter's, I think, brilliant, brilliant sermon in Acts chapter 2. All right, our hymn this week is a lovely ascension hymn from last week. And I think I pointed this out yesterday, but it's worth acknowledging again that the author, Christopher Wordsworth, if I remember right, famous poet, or his brother was a famous poet as well. This was an Anglican churchman. He actually brings to bear how Christ is the fulfillment of all these Old Testament types or figures, you know, or archetypes, if you want to use Carl Jung's language, right? So you have Enoch and Aaron and Joshua and all the tribes of Israel and Elijah, and Jesus himself fulfills all of them. And they all pointed forward to him. All right, let's sing.
Ascends in triumph, conquering king in royal state, riding on the clouds his chariot to his heavenly palace gate. Hark the choirs of angel voices, joyful alleluia sing. And the portals high are lifted to receive their heavenly King. Who is this that comes in glory with the trump of jubilee? Lord of battles, God of armies, he has gained the victory. He who on the cross did suffer, he who from the grave arose, he has vanquished sin and Satan, he by death has crushed his foes. While he lifts his hands in blessing, he is parted from his friends. While the eager eyes behold him, he upon the clouds ascends. He who walked with God and pleased him, preaching truth and doom to come, he our Enoch is, translated to his everlasting home. Now our heavenly heaven enters with his blood within the veil. Joshua now is come to Canaan, and the kings before him quail. Now he plants the tribes of Israel in their promised resting place. Now our great Elijah offers double portion of his grace. He has raised our human nature on the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places, there with him in glory stand. Jesus reigns adored by angels, man with God is on the throne. By our mighty Lord's ascension, we by faith behold our home.
We confess together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Pray the collect for this week. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph, far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray for refinement of our faith. Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we are grieved by the various trials of this present moment, yet we know that these are your purgatorial fires that prove the genuineness of faith and burn away the dross of idolatry. Refine us by the fire of your baptismal Spirit. Burn away our misdirected fears, loves, and trusts, our false faith in the power and wisdom of man. Reveal in us the precious, pure gold of faith in Jesus' saving death and life, as we await our yet unseen inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, unfading, held in trust for all who trust in him, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, your Son, the Word incarnate, pointed us to the Scriptures and declared that they speak of his death and resurrection for the life of the world. Let your inscriptured word dwell in our homes and lives, that through Moses and the prophets, the apostles and evangelists, we may grow in both faith and knowledge to our full maturity as your children. Open our ears to hear, our minds rightly to understand, and our hearts truly to believe. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray for deliverance against temptation and evil, for the addicted and despairing, for the tortured and oppressed, and for those struggling with sin. Pray for all those who graduate and complete their studies, that God would bless their transition to new adventures in life. We pray for all our first responders, doctors, nurses, and those who work in nursing homes and hospitals on the front line of the pandemic. We pray for a great end to our school year, for our children, teachers, and families to thrive. We pray for an end to anxious thoughts and constant worry, that God would provide peace and joy in all circumstances. We pray for an end to fear, that we would live confident, trusting in the word of Jesus. Pray in thanksgiving for the resumption of divine service this coming Sunday, May 31st. We pray for those who celebrate their baptism today, Ella Winter, and those who celebrate anniversaries, Don and Karen Pfeiffer. We pray for those in need of healing, especially Carol Hawk, Marcella Bauer, Jan Borgwart, Brad Jentsch, Janet Jentsch, Carol Kelling, Chris Lindau, and Sandy Maxwell. For Wendy and Linda Mondlock, Joan Nye, Ken Nimmer, Aaron Peterson, and Brian Rush. Pray for those who are in nursing care facilities and thus isolated, Willis and Janice, Mickey and Bev. And we pray for our missionary family, the Federowitz family. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray together the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We pray Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.